You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you kidding me?
You are looking live.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. Winning cures everything. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
We have got quite a bit to discuss. We are recording on Sunday night. Before we get into all of that, of course, the show is brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got six incredible sports books, along with a ton of shows coming through town, a bunch of really, really good steakhouses, golf courses, etc. You can find more information on all of that over at tunicatravel.com. So make sure that you go check that out. You can find us over at winningcureseverything.com. All of our picks, previews, podcasts, videos, social media platforms, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you leave a comment. Tell us your opinions, your thoughts on these topics as well. We love to hear from you guys. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe for us. That helps out more than you know. Leave a nice review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. Let's go ahead and run into this thing. Of course, got to start out with the somber news of Sunday. It kind of took over the sports world. It took over the entertainment world. The Grammys, of course, are going on right now. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was killed in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, in California. He and four others, his daughter was on board. A baseball coach and his wife and daughter, they were traveling to a competitive basketball game for his daughter, for a girls' team. And he's kind of been an ambassador for the women's game as of late. Like, over the last month, he's really jumped into that. Have you noticed that, by the way?
Yeah. I mean, he's spending a lot of time there, but he's got a vested interest in it.
Yeah.
With his kids. So
he leaves behind a legacy of, I mean, I wrote down competitive intensity and skill that we have only ever seen in one other player, I believe, Michael Jordan, and will likely never see again. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I just think that people are wired different today than they used to be. Nobody has that killer instinct anymore. Everybody,
even if they have the killer instinct, they don't have the skill to be able to do it, right?
Yeah, but I kind of think that killer instinct is gone.
I think so too. Like,
I mean, I think it's going to be far more rare than it ever used to be, and then much less finding somebody who has the ability and that kind of instinct married together again. Yeah. It's just not realistic.
It was more than a game to him and to Michael Jordan. He took every game like it was the last game he was going to play, you know, and you just don't find that nowadays. People rest more. There's load management now. Kobe didn't, until his injuries, he just didn't miss games.
And people will talk about, oh, well, that was the era then, and this is the era now, and if he played today, he would. I just disagree. I think most of the other players around him would have. I don't think he would have, and I don't think Michael would have.
I agree.
I just think those guys are wired different. And I know I'm wearing my Pats gear. I think Tom is a lot like that. I know there's a ton of Patriot haters out there that would probably disagree with that, but he's the same thing though. All he does is eat, sleep, and breathe his job. And he's made umpteen sacrifices to just get a little bit better. And it's the only thing that matters to him is just winning. It's just that killer instinct of just destroying people. And he, you know, yeah, they never want to come out of the game ever.
He wanted to go out and make you pay for daring to line up against him every single night. And, you know, the 60-point game in his last regular season game against the Jazz was at, like, I will never forget that. It was incredible television. I don't know that we're going to see a lot of guys, because most guys hang on until it is way past their prime, right? You don't see guys that just know when it's time.
Well, I don't know. I think the guys make too much money now. I think you're going to see guys get out way earlier.
You might be right, but we haven't seen it yet. You know, guys hang on a little too long all the time.
Stars, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Like a superstar that knows that he could go somewhere else and make however umpteen million dollars. Because why would you leave when even if you're not getting a big time contract, you can still go out and make $10 million a year playing 50 games, you know, yep. Like it's nothing. So it's a little bit different, but that last regular season game, he scored 60. And yeah, it took a lot of shots to get there, but it was riveting television.
Well, it was Kobe.
Yeah, it was Kobe. I mean, it was just fantastic. That farewell. I mean,
he trusted himself with, people call him a ball hog back in the day, but he trusted himself with the ball more than he trusted you.
Yeah.
You a shot, you drop the shots and I'll get you the ball. Exactly. You miss one, you're done.
He played 20 seasons with the Lakers. That's something else that you're not going to see a whole lot of, you know, guys like Dirk Nowitzki, stuff like that. Even Michael Jordan ended up closing his career with the Washington Wizards. Kobe opened with the Lakers, closed with the Lakers. It was, you know, it's a different time, different era. You're not going to see that kind of stuff anymore. Like maybe Steph Curry stays a Warrior forever. But other than that, I mean, guys are moving all the time just trying to chase rings.
And can he play 20 years?
Yeah. I don't know of many guys that will play 20 years. You know, Vince Carter has done it for, you know, quite a while now. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting.
He was one of the last few to get in out of high school.
Yeah.
So that helps him. You know, he doesn't have that extra year that some of these other guys have.
That's true. Tons of teams today were taking 24-second and 8-second violations to start the games. The Grizzlies did it against the Suns. You know, the Grizzlies took a 24-second clock violation, and then the Suns took an 8-second violation to try and get it over half court. The Mavs have announced they are retiring the number 24. Do you think at some point the NBA is going to retire one of these numbers? I guess number 24, that's what he's most known for.
I don't know that I would do that. I just don't. I don't know what the symbolicness is, you know? I mean, is he a great player? Sure. But there's only one number in all of sports that's retired across every team in that sport, and that's 42 for Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And that's a little different. I think you kind of, I don't know, discredit that being hung in the rafters of the Staples Center for the Lakers, you know, by just saying, well, we're gonna, you know, do that too. You know, I don't know that the league has to do that because he passed away. Would you have done it if he was still alive? Would you have done it if he lived to be 80 and was the greatest ambassador in the history of the game for the sport? Still have done it? Because I don't think so.
I think the tragicness of the moment has like kind of got to the Mavericks. You know, and this is obviously.
And I get that. If you're close to him, you know him. Right now, you're not thinking straight. Any decision you make is going to be knee-jerk, even if it's the right decision or the best decision in the world. It's still a reaction to your whole life being shaken.
It really surprised me. You know, there were several outlets that did, you know, the 10 best players of the decade, right? Or the 10 best all-time NBA players. And several of those lists didn't even have Kobe Bryant on it, which made no sense to me. But, it, you know, they would have guys like Steph Curry. And LeBron James, I think, belongs on there. But to not have Kobe Bryant on some of those lists was insane. I mean, he was everybody. When you took a shot, and it's a tradition thing. Like, you've played basketball for years. Even when you're just taking a shot in the driveway, you step back and you're acting like the shot clock's counting down, you know, 3, 2, 1, and you'll yell Kobe, right? Like, everybody did that. And I don't know that will ever change. You know, like, I would hope that kind of thing would continue, because that's, you know, it, for whatever reason, it just caught on even back when we were in high school. And
yeah. Well, it was when he was a megastar in the game.
Yeah.
So like, take the tragedy of today out of it. If you were ranking just from 2011 until 2020, was Kobe one of the best 10 players in that decade on his performance in those years? The answer is probably not.
I would say yes. I mean, he won, you know.
I would have to go back and look, because I don't really.
He won 2 championships. Like,
it's over. No, then it's over. I don't know when they last won championship. 10 years ago seems like it was 5 minutes ago, the older I get. So,
I know, right? I mean, it's
2011 seems like it was just around the corner. And I was like, man, he blew an Achilles. He missed an entire year. Like, how much of the decade did he actually play?
Yeah, you know, I understand. I feel where you're coming from, but just to not have Kobe.
Well, you're right. Show me. I would also need to see the 9 other names above him.
Agreed. With that said, I mean, is there anything else really to say about Kobe? I mean,
not for you and I. No. I mean, you know,
like, we were NBA fans.
For those who knew him and the stories that will follow for years and hopefully decades to come. Then yeah, those people need to continue to tell those stories.
I agree.
And write about them. And I can't wait to read about them and learn about them and hear them.
But
for you and I, no, I don't know if there's anything else you can say. I will tell you, so I am, and this, you know, this could be an awful thing about me. I see life just completely different than a lot of people sometimes. And I was like, Kobe was a megastar. He was a rock star in this world. He was doing nothing but positive things, and that seemed like it was awesome. But at the end of the day, a 41-year-old man died, and he lived an unbelievable life at 41. Like, while this is sad and it's shocking, I save the word tragic for things that I find greatly, truly tragic, because I don't want to waste it. I don't want to dumb it down. I don't want it to lose its meaning.
I think his daughter.
And then when the report of his daughter being on the plane, on the helicopter, my heart sunk. And I was just like, okay, now the definition of tragedy is here in full effect.
I think it was going to be tragic regardless, because, you know, he's a father. Whether she was on the plane or not, you know, he's got other daughters at home. His wife. Yeah,
people you know, grow up without dads all the time, though. Agreed. And he lived an unbelievable life. Now, I'm not saying it's okay for somebody to die at 41. I'm not.
Agreed.
Jesus, I'm a few years away from being 41. I don't want that. I'm just trying to say that tragic things are different than sad things that are just completely shocking.
That's a good point.
Okay.
That makes sense.
And if he was alone on this plane or helicopter with a pilot, and they were both, you know, 40, 50-year-old men who lived, obviously, if you're a pilot from private jets, have a pretty good life, you've got some stories that are going to be told about you, and you're going to live on forever. Like, okay, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awful for the people that knew you, and they're sad, and their world is shaken. But then when his 13-year-old daughter is gone too, it's just, okay, all right, now I'm moved to a point of feeling something greater than I was expecting to feel today.
I completely understand. I understand where you're coming from. Let's move on to some football talk for a little bit. Only one topic that we really want to hit today. College football. Gus Malzahn has turned over the play-calling duties to Chad Morris. First off, does this surprise you at all?
No, I think Chad Morris is a pretty good offensive-minded guy, okay? I don't think this is – he's not handing this over to some schmo that, you know, has never you know, been successful in major college football calling plays. All right. At the end of the day, he's going to have, you know, end all be all say all on the offense, but I think it's okay. And I think what this is Gus doing is he's trying to fill out the rest of the team. He's trying to become more of, I gotta be a bigger part of recruiting. I've got to be a bigger part of what's going on special teams and the defense. And I would venture to say I would watch Auburn special teams this year. Usually when head coaches who are normal schemers give up the scheming of something and they go to be more of a CEO guy, the only thing that they try to really get creative with is special teams. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Gus does that and just spends a lot more time in that world. And yeah, I mean,
thought with this was, I wonder if this is part of the reason why Auburn fans, it seems are really tired of Gus, because there's no real plan. Like some years he's the play caller, some years he's not, and it's just kind of all over the board. Now, this is a really mediocre, mild story that doesn't seem to be a big deal because obviously, you know, who wouldn't trust Chad Morris with their offense? And I think that Morris and Malzahn come from the same kind of background. They're both, you know, from that high school tree. And obviously he did great things at Clemson. He did great things at SMU. The way it ended at Arkansas obviously did not go well. But I wonder because he doesn't just set – like if he were moving towards being a CEO and this was still early in the process for him, then I could understand it. But we're moving into year – what is it, 8 of him being a head coach?
Yeah, but his staff evolves all the time. What you are with one staff is going to completely change based on who your other participants in that staff are.
Agreed. And last year, like Kenny Dillingham coming in as the offensive coordinator for Memphis, Dillingham had not called plays.
No,
so obviously you wouldn't want him to call plays.
And then we had it's not like I want to have call plays. I think if he was losing OCs to head coaching jobs or to the NFL or to bigger jobs, promotions.
Yeah.
Then we wouldn't be so critical. But the reason he goes back and forth from calling plays to not calling plays, and usually when he takes over calling plays, that OC gets fired, because he's trying to groom these other coaches to be better at this. I think that's a good thing for a coach to do, is to teach those that are working under you your craft and try to help them get to that next level. Now, if they're not successful, at the end of the day, you're responsible for the team.
Yeah.
So you got to push that guy away and you got to take over the reins. And he's able to do that on offense. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So I don't see this as a negative where he goes back and forth and back and forth from doing it, because I don't think it's a thing where there's no plan. I think there's absolutely a plan. There's always a plan. The problem is if the guy sucks, then you got to move on from the plan.
Agreed. Dillingham was known for his ability to put together a scheme, put together a game plan, but not necessarily call the plays. And like he could script plays with the best of them. But even when he was at Memphis under Norvell, he was not the play caller. Norvell was the play caller. It was the same thing at Auburn. He went to Auburn and Gus called the plays, but Dillingham put together the game plans.
And handing the offense to Chad Morris and changing that now is no big deal to me at all.
I think you're probably right.
I mean, Chad is established. He is.
Yeah. He will not have any problem finding a job at any point in his career, I don't believe.
No. So,
with that said, we weren't going to spend long on that. Let's close out. Obviously, this will be a short one tonight. You and I are getting together again on Monday night. We'll do our Super Bowl preview. We'll talk several other topics that we're wanting to hit on.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
But right now, let's move into college basketball. Lots of stuff happened over the weekend, of course. The Big 12 SEC Challenge ended up tied 5-5. And did you watch any of these games, by the way?
Yeah, well, I watched the LSU-Texas game.
So that's the first thing I do. Not the first thing. How about this? Let's pull up the
and I just to finish that thought. I checked in a lot on the Baylor Florida game, a whole lot.
Now I did watch that. I watched Alabama and Kansas State. I watched the majority of LSU Texas, and I watched on another TV Kentucky and Texas Tech.
So I went and looked up highlights, actively searched out, not just watched them on the 3P Sports Center or whatever, the Auburn Iowa State stuff. I have a friend of our family is now a freshman at Auburn. She got there in the fall. Okay. And she was one of the students waiting in line for tickets for the game, and Bruce Pearl comes out and is passing out bagels, and she got to meet him and get her picture taken and all that stuff. So
it is a really cool thing what he does there.
He's an exceptional coach.
And a great personality.
That's one of those situations where if you could go back in time, you know, I stood firm on Ole Miss. If I was Ole Miss, I wouldn't have fired you. I'd have just made him take whatever suspension he gets and then keep on rolling. With Bruce Pearl in Tennessee is just so that.
I mean, they made the Sweet 16 last year, so I mean,
no, and not that they're never going to be good again. I just find him incredibly likable. I find him incredibly likable.
Well, and I do think that Tennessee definitely would have been better had they just kept him and had an interim for however
ride this thing out however long it is, because he is good, he is likable, he's going to always have your fan base pumped, which is a big part of college basketball.
Yeah.
Big part. These arenas aren't real big. And so you get, you know, 10,000 students and people, I guess, let's say under the age of 30 in that place, and all of these places, they get crazy and they get really tough places to play.
Yes. Yes.
And he understands that. And he always has.
Yes. No, you're 100% right.
I can't have this place filled with 50-year-olds. I appreciate the money. I appreciate the sport. There are tickets for you, but I need this lower bowl to be full of 29 students and under. People making bad decisions and willing to be crazy.
Yes. Alabama beats Kansas State. Baylor beats Florida. Kentucky beats Texas Tech on the road. West Virginia beats Missouri. Auburn beats Iowa State. LSU wins on the road at Texas. Oklahoma wins at home by one over Mississippi State. Kansas had way more of a struggle with Tennessee than anybody thought. I think DeSosa being gone is
a big problem. Yeah, I was about to say, they had several guys miss this game.
So, well, only two guys, but and one really doesn't play that much. But DeSosa is a big
guy. Okay, I thought it was three, but one of them was a bench guy, but maybe there was only two. Jesus.
Yeah, it was only two.
Yeah, that's not a big deal at all.
Oklahoma State clobbered Texas A&M. A&M's got a lot of building to do with.
They're just not real good right now.
Arkansas has looked really, really good under Eric Musselman. I mean, he's been fantastic. So they beat TCU. And then outside of that Big 12 SEC challenge, Ole Miss won at Georgia by 10, and South Carolina clobbered Vanderbilt. Everybody is clobbering Vanderbilt right now.
Yeah. The game I wanted to watch and I missed was the TCU-Arkansas game. That's the game that I wanted to see more of and pay more attention to, and I just got busy.
It's a long day. Saturday's a long, and there were 143 basketball games on Saturday.
There's like 300 schools in college basketball.
Yeah, it took me so long to go through these numbers and pick out 10. Now I went 6-4 against the number.
There you go.
And I went 3-0 today, so I've had a pretty good weekend. But that took forever to go through those numbers to figure out what games I wanted to bet.
The most impressive win of the week. And I think of the weekend across the nation was Baylor hanging on to that number one spot and kind of going down to Gainesville and beating the hell out of Florida.
I mean, they beat them by 11, and it really wasn't that close.
Sometimes you can beat a team bad on the scoreboard, but really it was a tight game, and then they get to the foul situation. You hit all your fouls, and you're shooting Hail Mary threes, and a game can look squirrely at the end where it really wasn't. This game was kind of a 10-point game the entire time.
Baylor is, without a doubt,
really good.
I mean, they are incredible. And as an Alabama basketball fan, it drives me insane because their leading scorer, the guy that leads their team, Jared Butler, was an Alabama commit, an Alabama signee, and ended up transferring. So, you know, it is what it is, right? Like, it's just irritating, but, you know. Basketball fan, you learn to deal with these things. Like Anthony Grant has a top 10 team at Dayton, of all places, and he couldn't get it done at Alabama. It's like, okay, well, it's par for the course. So I wanted to talk to you about LSU and Texas. Not necessarily about the game, but Texas is, like, I think Shaka Smart may be in trouble. They are 12-7 right now. I'll be point blank. Do you think Shaka Smart is the coach at Texas next year?
That I don't know the answer to.
I will tell you this. He has already missed more NCAA tournaments in his first 4 years. This is his fifth year. He missed two NCAA tournaments in the first 4 years. Rick Barnes was the coach there for 17 years, only missed the tournament one time.
Well, I think they are going to regret letting Rick Barnes go.
I think they already do.
Yes, they obviously already do. When that happened, I was shocked. I mean, I was like mouth dropped. You're talking about a class guy in the world of college basketball.
I'll tell you this. So the reason why they let him go was like he obviously never made a Final Four there. He never really got.
Who thinks Texas is a basketball school? Final Fours are hard. We just talked about how there's 300 schools in this damn thing, and you want to be a top four?
I agree. That's
you can't even be a top four in football, and that's where you put all your money.
That's what I'm saying. As a coach, when you get there year after year after year, you would think that a fan base would be fine with that. So Herb Sendek, I don't know if you remember that name. He was the coach at North Carolina State forever and constantly took them to the NCAA tournament. I mean, it was something crazy, like 8 out of 9 years at NC State. And obviously at NC State, you are at best the third best basketball school in that state. And that's if you don't include Wake Forest. And Wake Forest,
I was just about to say, I'm going to bet Wake Forest would have something to say about that compared to NC State.
That's what I'm saying. At best, they are the third best in that state. And Herb Sendek got them there all the time, and they were never happy with him because he couldn't advance. Like he would advance to like the second round and maybe a Sweet 16, but he wouldn't get further than that, and they got irritated and wanted to bring it. Now, of course, they get rid of him. They bring in Mark Gottfried. Gottfried gets them to like an Elite Eight. You know, it's just ridiculous. Again, former Alabama coach.
It's one of those things where just people's expectations is the cause of all of their problems.
Yeah. What is your definition of happiness?
Yeah, it's expectations minus reality.
Yeah. So, or reality minus expectations.
Reality minus expectations. Whatever. It's, yeah. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you're getting the same thing.
Exactly. But you get rid of guys that are good enough to get you there every year.
You think you're supposed to be something. You think because you're the biggest school in the state with more money, more power, more influence, that it's your God-given birthright to be better than everybody at everything. And it's just not the truth.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Texas Tech lost at home to Kentucky. Which, obviously, not a bad loss whatsoever, but that comes on the heels of losing at TCU. Texas Tech might be in danger of missing the NCAA tournament. They don't have...
I could see that. They lost a lot, but Kentucky's a good basketball team. They had a tough draw in you know, who they got in this little round robin that we played.
Well, and they do that based on last year's results. And
that's right. I get how they get it, but I'm just saying... You know, you're Texas Tech, you're not Kentucky. Kentucky reloads with new freshmen that are all going to be, you know, 5 lottery picks every year. And you're Texas Tech, you take 3 or 4 years to build a team that can compete.
Which means
the year after you make your run, usually going to be pretty rough.
Yes. They
took them to overtime. I thought that was great. I thought it was a really exciting game. Watch the finish. And so, yeah.
Their only problem right now is that they don't have any real quality wins. Like, that's the biggest issue, and that would have been a big one for them.
Well,
it
would have been huge.
But their big win before, I think, was Virginia. Or no, they beat Louisville. That's their one win, like their one quad one win. Other than that, they've really got nothing on the resume, and that's, you know, they need something big.
Still a little bit more to go.
I mean, we're still at the end of January, man. We are all good. We are all good. I wanted to talk about Michigan and Ohio State. Before we get out of here, these are two teams that were in the top 5 back in December. And Ohio State was the number one team in the country for a bit. And Ohio State has lost, 7 out of 10? I mean, they are not good right now.
They've fallen. Well,
they get a win over Northwestern this weekend.
I think the whole Big Ten is drunk as hell.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, home teams win like 80% of the time in that conference. If
there's a home dog, I'm betting money line almost every week, and I don't care where they're playing or what the two teams are. I'm just taking my chances with catching plus, you know, 280, 330, something like that, and hoping I can pull a win out. And I just need them to be, okay. I mean, they're better than 500 right now almost.
Yeah, it's insane. They're way better than that, I believe. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
You think home dogs are better than 500?
Right now, the Big Ten, like you said, the Big Ten is drunk, man.
It is drunk as hell.
Now, this weekend, it didn't quite hit. You had Illinois win at Michigan.
Ohio State
win at Northwestern. You had Maryland win at Indiana. You had a bunch of stuff this weekend. Michigan State won at Minnesota today, I believe. So, yeah, you had a lot of road teams win this weekend. But, for the most part, home dogs have shown up big so far. But Michigan and Ohio State, now 11th and 12th in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was pulling up the standings and stuff for the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're both in danger of missing the NCAA tournament after being ranked in the top 5 earlier this year.
Yeah, they got 7 and 8 losses. Yeah.
It is such a fluid situation.
Michigan is 0-5 on the road.
Oh, yeah. And they hadn't been great at home. They're 2-6 in the conference.
One team in the conference has a winning record on the road. 4-3, Illinois.
Yeah, which is
Michigan State's only 2-3. They've played one less road game.
Yeah.
Everybody else is below 500 on the road.
Which is absolutely insane, right?
That's bad. And a whole lot of 1-6, 1-5, 0-7, 0-5, 1-4. I mean, Rutgers is, 15-5 overall.
Yeah, they're Rutgers is going to make the NCAA tournament, man.
Yeah, they're going to make the tournament. They're 1-4 on the road, though. Like, can't win a road game.
Yep.
What are these teams going to do when they get to the I'm going to tell you this. I might pick a whole lot of upsets for the Big Ten in weekend one.
I'll tell you this. The reason I would tell you to hold off on that is because they are playing really good teams. Like, the Big Ten is, by ranking at KenPom, the toughest conference in the entire country. Now, they may not have
I don't think that's questionable. I agree with that.
And they may not have a national title contender in there, but it is just a bunch of really good teams all thrown together.
I'm still going to have the Spartans doing what I normally do,
yeah,
which is just write them into the Final Four and then figure out the rest of the bracket later.
They've got so much experience. I mean, it's just a ton of experience.
I just trust that team. I don't know anything about anything else. I just trust those guys. I trust that coach.
Do we want to talk at all about Memphis?
Yeah.
Memphis is in trouble. I mean, the big wins that they had early in the season do not look so hot anymore. I mean, Ole Miss is not good. Tennessee, whatever. I mean, it's a road win, and I think it's a quad one at this point, but it ain't great. Memphis losing by 40 the other night, we talked about that.
Got just destroyed, and then they get to come home.
And they give up a 15-0 run to end the game and lose by 4 at home to SMU. Now, SMU is a pretty good basketball team. They're 15-4 on the season, but you cannot lose that game.
You got a double-digit lead like this. You can't blow that.
No. Not
you can't blow that, man. At home?
Do we think that this still has something to do with the locker room?
I don't know. I think some of it has to do with coaching. I mean, I just don't know that you blow those kind of leads. Great coaches don't have that happen to them ever. They'll go their entire career. They'll coach thousands and thousands of games. They won't have that happen to them.
I think you're probably right. Like this is an interesting thing to watch. I cannot wait to see the end of the season.
I love Penny. I want nothing but good things for him. But damn, I just don't know that he's. Can he recruit? Yes, we all knew that.
Well, we'll see if he can continue to recruit.
True.
He had a lot of help with James Wiseman talking to these guys that are now on the team.
Fact.
I'm curious what it's going to be like when he is not recruiting guys that are in Memphis that already know. Like, I think he can recruit Memphis.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, there's enough. I think there's enough local talent in Memphis every year for you to have a top 15 recruiting class just if you got the local kids.
You might be right.
I mean, I think there's a couple of hotbeds for talent in basketball that have been there forever. I think Memphis and D.C. are two of the most underrated places in the country.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
For talent. DC, and if you could just recruit locally, then you're not really worried about anybody else.
But at some point in time,
we got to develop these kids. I mean, you got to take a 3-star and make them play like a 4-star. You just do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have one of the best NBA shooters in the history of the game. Somebody has to teach these kids how to shoot the basketball.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this.
That is a learned skill.
Boogie Ellis came out of his shell early in that game and was playing pretty well. And then nothing. Like, they did just...
Because you can shoot your way. When they get down, like the other night, they got down by like 15 pretty quick. You can shoot your way out of holes like that.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to shoot the basketball. The three-point is so important to the game now. If you don't have it, you can't compete.
And so their biggest thing is that they don't have any bigs down low to be able to open up the outside shots. When they had Wiseman, it was a different thing, right?
Because, dude, name a big man that's played for Villanova in the last 10 years.
You got a valid point, but...
You can run a scheme with nothing but little dudes. I swear to God, Villanova's thrown out there nothing but 5 guards
year after year,
and they moonwalk their ass to the Elite Eight.
But that's when you've got 5 guys that can all shoot the 3.
At some point in time, you can teach these kids how to do this. Now, they might not be able to do it as freshmen, but as long as they're not one and done guys, they need to be learning how to shoot the basketball. And if next year we can do it, then great. It was all worth it, whatever the hell we went through this year. But if next year these kids come back and they can't shoot the 3, then we have a problem.
You might be right.
That is a learned skill. That is not something that you were magically born with. They need to have their asses out there practicing this stuff. And we got the best shooting coach who should be one of the best shooting coaches in the business.
I mean, he's one of the best shooters, so you would think he'd be able
to. I'm hoping that he can teach his technique and it wasn't some weird, I have a weird shot and whatever. So
yeah. No, you're right.
He's got a pretty pure shot.
Yeah, 100%. You weren't going to find a better shooter than Mike Miller.
I think he can teach that skill to somebody. I would think he could teach that skill to somebody.
You are probably right.
And it's just practice and repetition over and over and over again.
you're dead on. So that is going to wrap up the show for this evening. We appreciate you guys hanging in. Of course, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. You can go back and watch the beginning of that if you're only catching this segment of it on YouTube. I think that's going to do it. Go over to winningcureseverything.com. Check out all of our stuff over there. Everything about us, our picks, everything else. Our college basketball, my college basketball picks are on the site. I do it every day. I give you my picks. I went 3-0 today, went 6-4 yesterday. Not every day is going to be this successful, but I am almost at 58% on the season. So we've made some cheddar. We're doing all right. Go over to tunicatravel.com. Of course, Tunica, Mississippi is the South's premier sports gambling destination. All of their sports books, we vouch for them. They are fantastic. Tunica's got great stuff going on. Go check out more information on them over at tunicatravel.com. Chris, we are going to be doing this again tomorrow night, my friend.
Sir.
Absolutely. We'll see you all again later.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.